Let us pray for the reading of God's precious word to us. Father, we stand in awe that you chose to communicate with us and leave us with your love, your commitment to us, posted on the book called the Bible. The love letters that you write to us there, the way that you reveal yourself as a holy God, and the plan of salvation that is displayed from the beginning of time to the end of time. We thank you, Father, that you left us not ignorant of what you were doing or who you are or what you were about to do. And also, Father, we thank you that your word transforms us, changes us into better people. And the only way to do that is to make us more like Jesus. So we thank you for that. And we pray that you will continue to do that work in us as we read this word today and as we meditate on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Scripture today is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 to 17, on page 12 in your pew Bible. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all of the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each human being, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. So today I want to talk to you about covenants. And in our Reformed tradition, that's a huge deal. Every tradition, every denomination has something they excel at, they're good at, and they have their weaknesses. We have ours too, trust me. But this is a strength because God is a covenant God. And you will learn a little bit more about it. If you already know some about it, you will learn a little bit more about it today, what that means. So have any of you ever heard that? Have any of you ever heard that God is a covenant God? Raise your hands. I'm just curious. How many of you have ever heard that? God is a covenant God. Okay, I thought so. We're kind of a little bit ignorant about that, and it's really important. So I'm pleased to talk about it today. From the beginning of time, we see God pursuing the people that he has made constantly. When Adam and Eve were hiding from him, it was God who went looking for them in the garden. It was God's idea to save Noah along with his family, and after that, he made a covenant which benefits us all. This covenant, this is the first one. And it's based on God pursuing a people who constantly sin and get away from his wisdom and reject him. This was the first covenant God established with humanity. And this passage describes it. And it is known for you, I don't usually like to bring a lot of theological jargon into simple preaching, but I need to do it today. The Noahic covenant, some people say, was the first covenant God established with humanity. And that's what Jim just read about. And it's summarized in verses 8 and 10. Let me read them to you again. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants. Now, remember, last week I talked about how interesting it is that the sons and the sons' wives of Noah are saved because of Noah's righteousness. And I talked about how we as parents have the privilege of benefiting our children in an indirect way, meaning the closer we get to God, the more we abide in his word, the more righteously we live, the more blessings that come upon our children. Because why? Because God is a covenant God. He blesses many in one person, and we'll learn more about that. So then God said to Noah, verses 8 and 10, and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. They weren't even born. And here is God including them in the covenant. And with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. And then verses 12 and 13. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations. You see, that's what a covenant is about. Based on one person that God is pleased with, God includes, because God doesn't have hope that everybody will do what he says. So he looks for one righteous person and blesses a group of people, blesses a family. With you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So this rainbow represents God's promise, which is part of his first covenant ever to be proclaimed, that he will not destroy the earth with a flood, that he will never wipe out every living creature. His faithfulness will be shown in that way. So here is where things get really interesting because of the day and age in which we live today. The rainbow is a sign that God would never be destroying all life from the earth again. It's a sign of his faithfulness. The rainbow is a sign and a reminder of God's first covenant with humanity and with the earth, and it highlights his determination to pursue his creation. That's the true meaning of the rainbow. So it's very frustrating for me to see that the rainbow is not used to identify a group of people with a specific agenda. Let it be clear, that is not the meaning of the rainbow. God meant the rainbow to represent his pursuit of a people bent on sinning. It represents God's faithfulness, his ongoing commitment to seek us out in spite of our sin. The rainbow is a sign that he will not give up on us, that he's pursuing us the way that he pursued Adam and Eve when they were hiding after they blew it. The rainbow is a sign that God continues to pursue us. So when you see the rainbow, this is the meaning of the rainbow, not a political agenda that has to do with gender identity. So the covenant with Noah is only the first one. It's not the only one. It's just the beginning of God's sign and commitment to pursue his people bent on sinning. Later on, this covenant is reaffirmed and expanded through God's interaction with Abraham. That's why we call him Father Abraham, because we are blessed in Abraham. And we'll study that when we continue to Genesis, with Genesis. So later on, this covenant is reaffirmed, expanded, and tweaked by God through his interaction with Abraham. And this gives birth to what is known as the Abrahamic covenant. Many years later, God insists in his pursuit of us, and as a result, the Mosaic covenant, the third one, also known as the Sinaitic covenant, is born. Again, God is bent on pursuing his people. The Mosaic covenant is a covenant that God established with the Israelites, and it contains a set of laws, including the Ten Commandments. That's the first time they were given, that are to guide civil, social, and religious life. The Abrahamic covenant is based on Abraham's obedience. And God said to Abraham, through your seed, I will bless the nations. We're included there in this blessing that God promised to Abraham, in the same way that Noah's sons and their spouses were included in the ark. It does not say they were righteous like Noah was, but because of Noah, they entered into the ark. And because of Abraham, our father Abraham, we were blessed. And now this new covenant, tweaked, God is still pursuing people. The Mosaic covenant, the covenant that God established with a group of people now, the Israelites. And he gives the laws, including the Ten Commandments, to guide us in a social, civil, and religious life. And then, as you know, they didn't keep it, right? When all this failed, what does God do? He sent Jesus. God sent Jesus and made a new and everlasting, listen to that word, there are no more covenants after that. God sent Jesus and made a new and everlasting covenant through the death of Jesus, through the shedding of his blood. That's what we remember when we do communion. And he says, this is the sign of the new covenant, and that's why I repeat that every time we do communion. This is the sign when I pour the juice, which represents the wine, which represents the blood of Jesus shed. This is the sign of the new covenant, says Jesus. And that's the covenant we have in place today. It's an everlasting covenant. It's really beautiful to see the determination that God has had from the beginning of time. Yesterday I was talking with a couple of people, and we were talking about the wrath of God. And the Old Testament shows us that side of God that many consider very, very scary, which is directly connected with his perfect holiness that cannot tolerate sin. So God's wrath contained or poured out on Jesus on the cross, all of it was poured out, so that this new covenant now is totally different because it's based on the righteousness of Jesus, not on the righteousness of Noah, not on the obedience of Abraham, and not on the obedience of a group of people that were supposed to follow the Ten Commandments and all the other little laws related to civil life. This is based on a holy God who represented us and died in our place so that we could be included in his holiness, his righteousness, his character. And in spite of all the wrath that God displays, and in spite of all the confusion that it causes, like when Susan made mention of God saying to what is now Iran, the Philistines who lived in that area, and God saying to his people, destroy every living thing. And they didn't. I don't want to get into political issues right now. I just want to tell you what the scripture says. They disobeyed, and so now we have world political mess because of the disobedience. Yes, it's hard to understand that God destroyed the whole world except for a small family when the flood happened. Yes, it's hard to understand that God would ask his people, his leaders, to destroy an entire city, to not leave one standing. But when you have your own world and you're as wise as God, you can then judge God and God's decisions. For now, we just need to bow down before his majesty and trust that his heart is good and he knows what he's doing. But I mention this because in spite of that, in spite of the things that make us maybe a little bit fearful of God the Father, which is manifested in the Old Testament, in spite of that, we read about his determination to get to fulfill this new covenant, new and everlasting covenant that would come in Jesus. After the covenants he had made with Noah, with Abraham, with Israel in the Mosaic covenant, he announces with joy. I just feel like he's full of joy when he sends Jeremiah to announce the new covenant. This is back in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And he's telling us what is going to happen to these people that continually sinned against him because they failed again to keep the covenant. So here it is in Jeremiah, God's declaration of that covenant, which is a symbol of his determination to pursue us. Jeremiah 31:31-36, listen to it. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. And if you remember, Romans says we are included in Israel, so this applies to us because that's the way God is. So in Israel, we are included. We're grafted. That's what the New Testament says. So, once you have that clear, let me read it again. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. I can just see God's sadness there. Can you? Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. And then he announces it. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be the Lord. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Remember that verse, echoes of scripture? As the east is from the west, so far have I removed what? Your sins from me. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. Tell that to the people who want to destroy Israel today. Let me read it to you again. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. Interesting, huh? Maybe that's why all these things are happening in the Middle East. Maybe it's not new political issues. Maybe there's spiritual issues going on. From the beginning, what God wants us to know is that he is, let me end with this thought, he is a pursuing God who does not give up on us. From the moment we fell out of grace, because in Adam and Eve, we fell out of grace. We didn't have anything to do with it. Again, because God is a covenant God, we fell out of grace in them. Their sin impacted us in the same way that Noah's righteousness impacted his family, in the same way that Abraham's obedience impacted everyone else after him. From the moment we fell out of grace, God began pursuing us. This is seen in the various covenants that he made. But again, the greatest one of all the covenants he has ever made is the one he made in Jesus. That through his death, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but receive salvation. That covenant means that the way is open for all of us, for anyone to be saved and to be with God forever, not because of their own righteousness, but because of the covenant that God made with Jesus. Will you die? And Jesus saying, I will die. Maybe Jesus saying, I will do it first. And then dying in our place. And now we get to enjoy the benefits of that covenant and be with God forever in his kingdom, where there is no pain, no weakness, no tears, no sin, no backaches, no headaches, no cancer, no growing old, no wrinkles. That's good news. Let us then give thanks to God for his unrelenting love for us. And let us pray about the way we are to respond to him with our wealth, with our time, with our decisions, with everything that we are. Let us then give thanks to God for his unrelenting love. Let us respond to his love with the same dedication and commitment he has shown us from the beginning of time. Let us pray. I just want you to let that sink in for a minute, and then I will close in prayer, and you can talk to God. Tell him whatever you want. In a minute, I will say a closing prayer. Father, we do not deserve the goodness that you have shown to us, the kindness that you have shown to us. Honestly, what we deserve is hell. But instead of that, you give us heaven. For that, we are ever so thankful. For that, we are filled with gratitude. For that, Father, we want to give back to you the same commitment with the help of your Spirit, the same dedication that you showed to us. We want to give that back to you in every area of our lives. Help us so to do that, to live that way, O God, and to do it, to honor you as we pursue you in the same way you have pursued us, in the same way that you speak of in that psalm, as deep calls to deep. May the depth of our commitment be as deep as yours. May the depth of our love be as deep as much as possible as yours is. May the depth of our commitment be as true as yours is for us. This we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.